Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 11th, 2014, and with me today I have the party crew. Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, and it's great to hear your voice. John Martellaro, how are you?
Yeah, the second part of the A-team.
That's right. Yeah. So, like I said, it's a party today on the show because, well, whenever you guys are, that's just pretty much how it goes.
Absolutely.
We have a sponsor today.
Sorry.
That's right. So, yeah, I didn't know I could actually do that sound until right now.
Hey.
Yeah. I could be a Lego minifigure because everything is awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. We have a sponsor today, Casper Mattress, and I will talk about them more soon. And spoiler, I sleep really well, or much better than I used to because of them. But the first topic I want to hit today, John, you wrote a piece about Mark Zuckerberg and his comments about some things that Tim Cook said about just the way customers are perceived by businesses. So I thought we could dive into that. And for people that listen to Apple Context Machine as well, Brian and I, we had our own discussion about this piece yesterday. So now we'll have the John discussion today, and I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes to the ACM podcast so that you can hear that too if you're interested. So anyhow, John, this piece.
It all started when Tim Cook made a comment in an Apple privacy policy document saying that when an online service is free, you are not the customer, you are the product. And evidently, he was thinking that, well, he wasn't referring to anybody specifically. Facebook was probably inside the blast radius, according to Time Magazine's Lev Grossman, anyway.
And I did love that blast radius line.
Yeah, that was awesome. Great. So Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook took a bit of affront to this and made a comment the other day, and he said, a frustration I have is that a lot of people, namely Mr. Cook, increasingly seem to equate an advertising business model with somehow being out of alignment with customers. And then he went on to make some other incoherent statements. He thought this was the most ridiculous concept. And so what came out of this is that Mr. Zuckerberg was confusing what Tim Cook was talking about. Tim wasn't having a heartburn with the idea of advertising a fine product. Tim Cook was having heartburn with the idea of targeting the customers with free services. And as we all know from years of experience, a lot of free apps have backside business models. Some are legit, some are perhaps more unsavory. And this business about companies fine-tuning their understanding of your needs is the core of this article. Companies perceive they have a business opportunity. If only they can burrow into your needs, better understand what you like by tracking your Facebook likes and dislikes, tracking your purchase patterns, digitally prying into your life so that they can better understand every little thing you need. They can become more prosperous by presenting you with these buying options. They get richer. You spend more money. They're happy because they're wealthier, and presumably you're happy because you were confronted with a purchase need at just the right time. And that seems to be the prevailing model, and everybody likes that. Who's in business? Because, you know, apparently the customer's needs are being satisfied and the company gets wealthy. Well, it's a win-win. What can be wrong with that? And what's wrong with that is that I think people should be a little more resistant. People should be more private. People should be a little more curmudgeonly, more thoughtful about what they want to buy, even to the point where when an opportunity comes up to buy something you think you need, maybe you shouldn't even buy it. Maybe a life of a more thoughtfulness, less distraction on material goods, less focus on meeting your every need, less focus on advertising and being Johnny on the spot to buy everything that you think you need because it's a great ad. And this materialistic mentality, I think, is not a healthy approach to a good, considered, introspective life. And so I suggested that maybe this business model of Facebook's and other companies isn't as great as it's cracked up to be. Or maybe at least that people should be more resistant, more thoughtful, more relaxed, and focus on other things that are more important in life than just simply buying everything that they're confronted with. So that was the basis of the article.
Man, you make a horrible consumer.
Well, you know, I'm the kind of person who does a lot of research and thinks a lot about something. And I have to admit, there are things where I say, you know, I want that. I could buy it, but I'm not going to buy it because it's just another thing. And one of the things we discover is that a lot of the things that we're seduced into buying don't measure up. And that was one of the angles in the article. You know, Apple spends a lot of time, Jonathan and I spend a lot of time designing things that are worth having, that we respect, that are of high quality, and which we don't really have any buyer's remorse over. We choose it because we know it's going to be a fine product, and that's going to happen with the Apple Watch too. A lot of products and services and things we buy have a lot of flash up front, but then after we spend our money, we find out that they don't really pan out the way we want, and then just end up being put aside. And so it's an art to figure out what things one should buy, and when one should be not so materialistic and just pass.
I think that's a totally reasonable thing. Now when I look at the article or Mark Zuckerberg's statements, mm-hmm. what I'm getting out of this is that he's not getting that Tim Cook's approach is make a good product to sell to someone, whereas Mark Zuckerberg's approach is turn us into a good product to sell to some advertisers.
Right. And when you're living on that plane of existence and that's your bread and butter, you only see things that way. And as I pointed out in the article, you know, that's not the only perspective to bring to bear here on the considered life and how we buy things and when we buy things and how mired we should be in advertising that is very, very targeted. And we should be attuned to that. This is almost like the Max Headroom TV show from the 1980s
where the
network has figured out how to mesmerize you as you sit in your chair and drive you into a frenzy for the advertiser's purposes. Yeah, that's kind of nibbling around the edges of that.
You know, okay, so the idea of highly focused, targeted advertising for me as a consumer, I can see where that could be a positive thing, because if the data that they have allows them to present me with advertisements that tell me about something that I am genuinely going to be interested in, mm-hmm. then that can be a really good thing.
It is. It could be. It is. But the trouble is, what if you get to the point where the advertiser is so skilled at uncovering your every need that you are flooded daily with things that you come to think you may need, and then you find out your credit cards are maxed and you simply become a money machine?
Well, of course they want us to be money machines because the purpose of business is to make money. Okay, so the big thing for me out of that is how much information is going to be too much, and at what point do they know so much about me that mm-hmm. I should feel uncomfortable about that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because to get that good of advertising, they need an awful lot of information, you know, to advertise that particularly to somebody. So what I got out of this primarily when I went and read the piece – where Mark Zuckerberg was saying this stuff. I mean, John, you put a whole lot of thought into this and you've really considered it. And what I got out of it was Mark Zuckerberg doesn't understand that a customer of Apple and a customer of Facebook are two completely different groups. Mm-hmm. Because Apple is selling to end users. Apple isn't mining end users to sell to other people. And that's Facebook's entire business model. That's why nobody pays for Facebook. Because just like everybody says, when you are not paying, you are not the customer. And so Facebook's business model has nothing to do with my own status update or, you know, what it is that I'm actually doing. What their business model has everything to do with is taking that data and saying, here's what people in Portland like to do. Here's what females who post using the iPhone app enjoy. Here's something that a lot of Oregonians are discussing. So they're looking at all of the ways to slice and dice whatever it is that I've posted on Facebook so that they can sell that to somebody who is interested in what girls with iPhones or Oregonians or people in Portland are talking about at any given moment so that they can advertise to me. Like, we're going to have 60-mile-an-hour winds this afternoon. Maybe now is a good time for the Facebook ads to start selling me a windproof umbrella. That sort of thing is what Facebook does to make money. What Apple does to make money is sell me a computer or a tablet or a phone. And that's a very different model. They're not the same groups of people. And all I get from that is that Mark Zuckerberg is really nearsighted because all he did was trot out, Apple should be cheaper stuff, which I just thought was ridiculous.
Well, what's the
remedy?
And
it sounds like another – it's just the latest in a series of tone-deaf statements that he's made.
Yeah. What's the remedy? The remedy is to change your lifestyle, get offline a little more, go down to the rescue mission, do some work, play some touch football with friends, play with your kids, go do something besides being online so you're not subjected to this information so much. Don't walk along the city streets staring at your iPhone.
It's like sometimes I don't even know you, John. But you are making some really good points. There are a lot of people that are spending too much time so immersed in their technology that they lose sight of the world around them and their life and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that would be Casper Mattresses. And I'm actually really excited that they're a sponsor because even though you wouldn't think that a mattress would be a good fit for a technology-related podcast, I have to disagree because everyone needs to sleep, even coders at times. So I have been using a Casper mattress for over a month now, and I have noticed a marked improvement in my overall sleep. And I've been able to look at the charts that I'm making every day using my Fitbit to track my sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And the red and the light blue that I'm seeing in my chart, which is bad, is getting smaller. And I'm seeing more and more dark blue. So that's an awesome thing. And I had a nice mattress before, but the Casper mattress has made such a difference. I've been really impressed. Their mattresses are two different types of foam put together. So it's a memory foam mattress, but it doesn't do like the old style where you sink in and you become cocooned in the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
So it conforms to your body really well. It bounces back when you move around, and it doesn't get too hot. It regulates your body temperature really well. And they do this at prices that are below their competitors. So $850 for a queen-size mattress, which is the size that I have, as opposed to something well over $1,000, which is what you would pay for a comparable mattress, say if you went to your local mattress store.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer a return policy. So when you get it and test it out, if for whatever reason you're like, yeah, not for me, you're not committed to a mattress that you won't be happy with, although I'll be surprised if you do return one. And they're just like really good products. So I think everyone should at least check them out. And they think that our listeners are worth their time too. So they've given us a $50 discount, which is awesome. So you need the discount code TDO. And if you go to casper.com/TDO, you can pick out your mattress. And they just ship it right to you. You open up what I'm assuming is a TARDIS because the mattress is far bigger than the box that it's in. It magically becomes your mattress in about 90 seconds. Throw your sheets on, and you're good to go. So, yeah, so go check them out, casper.com/TDO, and use our discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off on a really great mattress. And thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week.
Thank you.
So excellent. The second topic that I wanted to hit today is another piece that you wrote, John. And this is kind of fun. You put together your list of holiday apps for iOS.
What was interesting about this is that there's a whole lot of Christmas apps available for iOS. And I was almost overwhelmed at the beginning. But fortunately, I navigated my way through it because I have a particular affection for snow globes. And I've collected a few of them. And they're fun to have on your iPhone, shake it, and the snow flies. And then I started thinking, well, what are the categories? What do we need for our Christmas apps? And so I came up with 7 of them. And fortunately, I was able to find a pretty good app that met each one of those. So I started with a snow globe. And then I said, well, we need a Santa tracker, right? We need to know where he is. We need to know how many presents he's delivered, the status of the sleigh, the health and well-being of the reindeer, and we can locate him as he tracks across North America. A nice Christmas book for reading or video. The Charlie Brown Christmas is a great one.
I absolutely love that app.
It's an awesome
one
app.
One of my
made a lot
all-time
of money.
Favorites.
Right. And we need it. And another fun one I found was a tree decorator, because this tree decoration app is awesome. You get to put ornaments on the tree. You get to save a tree, build a new tree. And when you're all done, you can put a border around it and do a save and email. And it creates a picture email card that you can email to friends as a Christmas card. And then, of course, we have to have a shopping and gift list management app, so you can know who wants what and maybe set up a budget and see how much money you've spent. And has a countdown to Christmas, so you know how many shopping days you have left. And of course, you got to have a Christmas cookie recipe app. And I found a really good one. So I put them all together, and I was lucky. I was able to find some pretty good apps in each category. But that's not to say there aren't additional apps that are just as good or competitive. There's lots of different Christmas cookie recipes apps. There are lots of countdown timers. There's lots of Santa trackers, and there's lots of snow globes. But I picked out what I thought was good ones. My metric was that they were either free or had an in-app purchase for maybe 99 cents. You could delete the ads, and that I had played with them or I had previously reviewed, like Charlie Brown Christmas. So I had a really nice list, and I published that yesterday. 7 great Christmas apps for your iPad and iPhone. Go take a look. There's some really nice stuff there, and you'll enjoy using them.
All right. So thanks for taking the time to find all those apps. We're pretty much out of time. But I want to know what your favorite app off the list was, John. We've already established mine was the Charlie Brown Christmas, and I'm betting that's Kelly's too.
It is, and one of the bonus reasons that I love it, first of all, Charlie Brown Christmas. Second of all, there's all these little touches in the app. There are different levels of interactivity. So if you have kids who cannot read, or if you have kids who maybe need a little help to read along, there is the read along option with the book. So it will highlight the words as the narrator is reading. The narrator, by the way, is the guy who was at the time the kid who voiced Charlie Brown. And the other thing I love about it is that it is it's $5, and that's it, and it's solid, and it's absolutely worth it, and it makes me happy every time I launch it. And they also did one for the Great Pumpkin, so if you're interested, you know there's a series of these. And what I love about it is that it is one of those that is very upfront. It's $5. It's absolutely worth the $5, and I've had a lot of fun showing it off to other people. A couple of years ago when it first was released, one of the things I loved about it was that the iPad was still not very common, and it was a thing that I could sort of use to show off, like, look what you can do with a book on an iPad. Isn't this interesting? And I think it's a great app. So that's my recommendation.
It's my favorite too. And recently they removed the in-app purchase and just made all the ornaments free.
Oh, that's cool.
So you want to get an update if you haven't done that.
That's
awesome.
Got
to be my favorite.
My favorite snow globe is the one that I used to, I don't know if I have the webpage for it anymore, but it was a webpage, and I think it used Flash or HTML5 or something. And when you picked up the snow globe was like a little winter scene, but the people inside it were walking around, and then when you picked it up and shook it, they all screamed.
Oh, ooh, send me the URL.
Yeah, that's the one I want.
I think I've seen that one, but I've lost track of it. Yeah.
I always my wish list for Christmas apps is that and Elf Bowling would come out in iOS version so that I could play with them wherever I am.
There was a TV commercial a few years ago. I forget what company it was, but it was a snow globe and people were skating around the ice skating rink. And they thought that was their entire universe. And then every once in a while, they would get to the edge and hit the glass and go boink and bounce off the glass.
That's awesome. Yeah. Kelly, if you can find the link to your snow globe thing, get it to me and I'll make sure it's in today's show notes so everyone else can share the joy too. And we are out of time. So thanks to both of you for joining me today. Thank you to Casper for being our sponsor and for helping me sleep better because sleep is good. And head over to casper.com/TDO. Use our discount code TDO and get yourself a $50 discount on a totally awesome mattress. Kelly, John, thank you for being here today. You guys rock.
So long, wizard.
You too. Tata guru.